Blog Talk Radio.
That's the opening theme for this great show each and every Tuesday. It's American Sports History Podcast, live from Cleveland, Ohio, hosted by a brother, mentor, and a friend of me, Peter Ray. Yours truly producing this about 2,500 miles to the west, Los Angeles, Mark Mancini here, 347-205-9631, live. 30 minutes goes by quick. If you happen to miss it, you're sitting around with marshmallows roasting it by a campfire, or maybe you're somewhere at the beach with the summer starting to come around the corner. Catch it on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me. Let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in place, hand off the mic, the threes, Peter. How are you? How can you people get a hold of you? And you got a great guest filling in for a guy that was catching a flight back up to Seattle. You dialed the bullpen. I can't wait to hear it. And man the boards, my friend. Take it away.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. I have a YouTube channel. It's my name, Peter J. Rea. My email address is there. And you're absolutely right. Tonight, pinch hitting for Bill North, who's on a flight from L.A. to Seattle. We have a guy from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who's had a lot of achievement in the world of sports podcasting. Welcome to the show, Mr. Ralph Williams.
Hey, thanks, Peter. I appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me on, and it's great to be here.
So, well, it's wonderful to have you. First of all, Ralph, can you tell us about your sports podcasting work?
Well, I have a sports podcast on YouTube. It's live every Tuesday night at 8:30. It's called Sports Corner with myself and my co-host, Smoking Jim Frazier. And we talk about Pittsburgh sports. I've had national guys on, like next Tuesday I'm having Kip Gross on. I've had some guys on from Florida, Leo Haggerty, and a few other guys. So I've had a lot of national people on the show, including Danielle Orsino. Last year I had her on, who does a show here on Blog Talk Radio. I even interviewed Mike Westhoff. He's one of the best special teams coaches in the NFL. I had him on last year. He talked about his book about the Jets. He now currently is the assistant head coach with Sean Payton up in Denver. So, so I had him on the show. I've had a lot of great celebrities on the show, and it's great. It's on Tuesday nights, and then on Fridays here on Blog Talk Radio, Mark and I, and we have some guests on as well. We do a podcast called The External Bum, where we talk about bums in sports. We mix it in with some sports talk. It's a great show. Thursday nights, I do a show here on Blog Talk Radio, also called Wrestling and Sports Talk. We talk both here. Thursday nights, myself, Mark Mancini, and Smoking Jim Frazier. So that's what I do in sports-wise. And I have my own YouTube channel, like yourself.
What's the name of your YouTube channel?
It's Ralph Williams, RW Media, and I just hit 100 subscribers over the weekend.
Wonderful. Now, when you were a to me, when we were young, that's why I have this that song. Our youth is important, and our memories. And to be honest, I'm a Cleveland's fan, and Cleveland didn't win any championships when I was young. So that's what's cool. When you were a young guy, the Pittsburgh Pirates won their last World Series championship in 1979, and I'd like to focus on that tonight. What can you say about the 79 Pirates?
Well, I could tell you this much. They were a great team. You had Willie Stargell, Dave Parker. You had some good pitching, John Candelaria. They used to call him the Candy Man. You had a great reliever and sidearmer, Kent DeColvey. We had a great catcher in Ed Ott. And it was just one great team. They had we had Bill Madlock, who played third base. Just a lot of guys who were leaders, who contributed to the game, who were very good players, who also worked and did a lot of charitable work, community work. Back in the day, that was great. That was a great thing. Manager Chuck Tanner had everybody together. It was just one heck of a run into the World Series. And then for us to come back and actually win it was really great. I saw some of the games. I watched them on TV, and it was so nice to see us win the World Series. I just wish we would have won a few more after that.
Okay, so let's go through the individuals. What can you say about manager Chuck Tanner?
Well, Chuck Tanner was good up until 1979. After the World Series was over, he kind of flopped out a little bit, but he was a good manager. You know, we got him in a trade with the Oakland A's. We traded Manny Sanguian to bring him over to the Pirates, back in them days was an odd trade, Peter, because you never traded a player for a manager. But that happened, and he was coaching or managing the A's, and we traded Manny Sanguian there. It was great to have Chuck Tanner here. You know, he came in to, after Danny Murtaugh, and so then he was the manager for a little while until about 1985, I believe it was, and we got Jim Leland took over.
Okay, let's go through the players, the starting lineup. Ed Ott, the catcher.
Oh, Ed Ott, great catcher, one of the best. He was good at managing the pitchers. Pitchers had a good relationship with him. He also could hit a little bit as well. He was a great fielder. I mean, he could get you out at second base and third, and even at first if he had to. He was just a great catcher.
Okay, first base, Willie Stargell.
Oh, Pops. You know what? We have a statue outside of PNC Park with Willie Stargell when they built PNC Park. I tell you what a nice character guy, great leader, and a great hitter as well, played first base. I'll tell you what, nothing like Willie Stargell.
Yeah, and you know what's cool is one of the things that was cool is they had those flat top caps, and Stargell awarding stars, and there were lines, gold lines going around the caps, and Stargell awarding stars to players who did well in games. I thought that was and I guess later MLB doesn't allow that. They thought, we don't want changes in the uniforms day to day. But that was cool, you know, do you remember that, him giving stars out?
Oh, absolutely, I do remember it. And Chuck Tanner, see, another thing I forgot to mention, too, being that you mentioned that, Peter, was that Chuck Tanner had a lot of faith in his players, and he made, Willie Stargell was like a captain, and, so he was able to hand out those stars to these players, and that's how much respect the players in the clubhouse had for Willie Stargell.
Okay, second baseman, Rennie Stennett.
Oh, nothing like Rennie Stennett. He also played shortstop occasionally, too, but he was the second baseman at that time, and I tell you what, he was just one great player.
And he went 7-for-7 in a game, right?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Yeah, that's the thing I remember about him. Tim Foley, shortstop.
Yeah, Tim Foley had two stints with the Pirates. He was with us still for about a year or two after the World Series, and then he came back for a couple years after he played for a few other teams. And I got to tell you, Tim Foley, he wasn't a good hitter, but when you needed to get a hit, he would get it for you. I mean, he could go like 1-4 in a game. He might get one hit. If you needed a hit, he was there. He was like a clutch hitter. It was great. And then his defensive skills were just tremendous. He was one great shortstop.
The thing that I was thinking about him is that I think most of his career was with the Montreal Expos, and I think I have a number of his baseball cards with Montreal. But then here he's on, you know, they bring him in. He plays a very important role. He wins a championship with the Pirates. So that was
absolutely.
Anyway,
yes, absolutely, he did. You know, so
I was thinking
It was great to have him here too. I mean, you know, like I said, he was a great defensive shortstop, and you know, a lot of shortstops. We've had some great shortstops. Mario Mendoza. We've had Jay Bell played second and shortstop a little bit. We've had a few guys here that have just been tremendous at the position, but they didn't hit, but they were good fielders, good defenders in the field.
Yeah, that's the thing that I remember, that you think of him as an expo, but then here he was on this team that third base, Bill Madlock.
Oh, the Mad Dog, we used to call him here. I'll tell you, they had nicknames for everybody. They said Madlock was the Mad Dog, good third baseman, and also a good hitter, great hitter. Oh, my gosh, he could hit. And, you know, just a great guy all around in the community and everything as well. I remember when I was little, he was always around the community doing stuff.
Okay, left field, Bill Robinson.
Yeah, Bill Robinson. I'll tell you, Bill Robinson not only played left field, also, Peter, he played first base, too, a little bit. He spelled off Willie Stargell. I'll tell you what, he was a great player in left field, good fielder, and, you know, just put good with the bat, too. Another great player.
Yeah, I had an author on, Barry Sparks, I believe. He wrote a book called The Search for the Next Mickey Mantle. And Bill Robinson, there's a chapter on him, and apparently he started with the Yankees, and there were high expectations, and they thought, but he did not become the next Mickey Mantle. But, yeah, like I remember him as a little bit older player doing very well with the Pirates.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He did a great job with the Pirates. You know, sometimes, Peter, and I say this many times, a change of scenery sometimes will do you some good. And he was one of them kind of guys that came from the Yankees, and just a change of scenery did him that good.
Okay, at center field, Omar Moreno.
Oh, my gosh, one of the fastest players in baseball. That man could steal bases like you wouldn't believe, and he made great catches on the fly balls, and he had a great throwing arm. I mean, you know, him and we'll talk about the right fielder coming up, and I know who you're going to say next. So, I mean, you know, they both had great arms. In fact, all three of them, Robinson and Omar Moreno, and I know who you're going to say next. Go ahead.
Yeah, Omar Moreno, 77 stolen bases in 79. Wow. My older brother's name was Mark, and I used to call him Omar Moreno. I don't know how that started. But
oh, yes.
Okay. Right field, Dave Parker.
That's the man, Dave Parker. We called him the Cobra. And I got to tell you, the interesting thing about Dave Parker is no matter what he did, no matter how hard he tried, there were a lot of fans in this town that didn't like Dave Parker. And I don't know why. I mean, you know, they always said he showed off all the time. There was at one point, Peter, in a game, this was after the World Series, that, you know, he was kind of having a bad year. Somebody threw batteries at him. I mean, it was like this guy just – he was like the Rodney Dangerfield of the team. He couldn't get any respect from any of the fans. And it was pretty sad. He was one of the best outfielders. He had one of the greatest arms. Look what he did in the All-Star game for the National League. He threw that ball. I mean, he gunned it. When he threw the ball, he didn't throw it. He gunned it. And, I mean, he was always getting guys out at home plate. I mean, he had one strong arm. And his bat as well was a good bat. But Dave Parker, what a guy. It was sad to see that at times he just didn't get the respect he deserved, I think, by the fans.
Okay, another player, infielder Phil Garner.
Yeah, Phil Garner played second base at times. He backed up Rennie Stennett until Rennie Stennett left the team, or I think he got traded, and then they ended up putting Phil Garner steady at second. He also played a little bit of shortstop, too, and he could play third base. He was actually quite, you know, like a utility guy. And he was very good at those three positions. Also a great leader. Everybody that the Pirates had on that team, Peter, were all great leaders. I mean, they were all good character kind of guys. You know, despite the fact that you heard some stories in the years or two coming about some things, which, of course, Parker was involved in, but I'm not going to go into it right now because we're not talking about that. But, you know, there were some things that happened, and it maybe it shouldn't have, and it kind of got out there a little bit. And I don't know the whole facts of the thing, of the story, but it was just bad publicity for the team at the time.
Yeah, I remember Phil Garner breaking in with the Oakland A's as right after their dynasty ended and playing second. And I guess he replaced Dick Green, who was a lot better than I thought, according to Bill North. And they said Dick Green almost was talking about him being World Series MVP. He didn't get a hit, but he was such a great defensive second baseman. But anyway, Garner, mm-hmm. Garner with – and then he was another guy like Tim – well, actually, I don't know how long Garner was with Oakland, but we had Mike Gallo on the show, who had an MLB pitcher, and he had Garner as – a manager in Houston, and he talked about how Garner's nickname was Scrap Iron. And I said, well,
yes,
do you know why they called him Scrap Iron? He said, no, I don't know why they got that
nickname.
He was
a scrappy guy.
Right.
I mean, Peter,
right.
he made good defensive plays. He brought the lunch pail. I mean, that guy could scrap. I mean, you know, if he was having a bad game, he'd try to bunt. He would do anything to help the team, anything. That's why they called him the Scrap Iron, because he just scrapped away at everything.
Right. Okay, another guy, John Milner.
Yes, John Milner. He was a backup outfielder, had a good bat, would pinch hit a lot for the pitcher, and then play occasionally in the outfield, first base at times. John Milner was an average guy, but again, another guy that Chuck Tanner would bring in that would be able to get a hit when you needed it. Get a base fielder when you needed it or something. John Milner was there.
Yeah, I think of Milner with the Mets. I know he was with the Mets in 73, and I think he was a starting player at that time. So anyway,
right.
Yeah, it's funny these guys move around, and then you think, oh, I didn't know he played. You know, you don't know the whole career of a guy, and then you find out, oh, I didn't know he played here. Okay, another guy, Lee Lacy.
Yeah, another guy that would back up or play when Marino needed a break. Fast guy, good bat, good arm. Also, another one also played like another position in the infield. So, I mean, you know, Chuck Tanner again. You know, he had this knack for picking up guys who, you know, played different positions where he could use them as whenever he needed to spell out a starter. Like if a starter was tired or he wanted to give him a break, he would put these guys in.
Okay, another guy, Dale Berra.
Yeah, guess who Dale Berra was? The son of Yogi Berra.
Yeah, right.
And he basically, because of that, everybody kind of thought he should have been this big superstar. He never was a big superstar baseball player, but again, another guy that if you needed help as a backup, he was there. A little bit not as good as his father. Never really was or made it anywhere else. He just kind of played the game. It was a good backup. Started a few games when needed. Guys got hurt in the 80s. He kind of came in and started.
Yeah, that's definitely cool, to having the son of Yogi Berra on your team.
Yes, it was. Yes,
wow.
It was.
Yeah.
But it was just sad that his performance wasn't like Yogi Berra's.
Right. Well, it's hard to live up. Okay, another guy, Manny Sanguian.
Yeah, Manny Sanguian. He was a great catcher. And I got to tell you this little story. He would sit in the catcher's position and not even have to get up and throw the ball. He would throw it right from the catcher's squat. You know how this catcher squats down? And he would just throw it right from there and never ever got up. He always threw it from there. And he'd get the guy out, too. And, in fact, I saw Austin Hedges try to do that a few weeks back for the Pirates, and it didn't work for him. But Manny Sanguian, that was one thing he was good at, Peter, was right when he was in that squat, he would just throw the ball and get you out.
Yeah, and you know, we picked him up in a trade, Cleveland, but he decided to retire. And I was like, oh, we got Manny Sanguian. And then I found out bummer. And he's had such a good attitude. I think he must have been very helpful on that team with his, joyful spirit.
Yeah, and another thing, too, with these guys, Peter, they came around when Tanner left or when Tanner got fired or left or whatever happened to him. I believe he got fired, but I didn't want to say it that way. But when Jim Leland came in, one thing Jim Leland wanted to do was he wanted to bring back some of that, you know, some of that stuff from the World Series. So he'd start bringing in guys like Manny Sanguian, and he'd start bringing in Willie Stargell when he's Dave Parker. He'd start bringing some of them guys in to, you know, help these players and say, hey, this is what we did in 1979. Bill Mazeroski, he brought Bill Mazeroski in numerous times to help out. Bill Verdon, he brought him in as coach. A few times he coached under Leland. He coached under a few of the other managers as well.
You know, there's a new Bill Verdon book out. Have you heard about it?
I have heard about it, yes.
Yeah,
we have a guy in town here. I don't know if you know him, Dave Finoli. He's very good. He writes about baseball, and I got to tell you, he really writes some books about the Pirates. And a few of his books are in the Hines History Center, which is a museum named after John Hines, the late senator who died in a plane crash. You know, who was a senator here in Pennsylvania, also part of the Hines Ketchup family. And what had happened was he wrote some books, and they put it in the museum there. He's been on some national shows, and Dave Finoli's just one great guy, and he knows baseball. I mean, I'm telling you, that this guy really knows it.
Yeah, we had him on the show, and I read his book, On the 79 Pirates. It's got Kent Tekulve
right.
on the cover.
Right.
Yeah, there's a new book about Bill Verdon by David Jerome I'm interested in. Okay, let's see here. Mike Eastler.
Yeah, Mike Eastler. He was another good backup player once in a while, started out in the outfield. Just a super guy. I mean, a lot of character guys, a lot of guys that did a lot of contributing. That's why the Pirates were good in 79, and they had a nice little run with Chuck Tanner because they had some guys that were just some great guys.
Frank Tavares.
Yeah, I remember Frank. Frank Tavares, utility infielder, great guy. Great, good speedy runner, too, another one that could run.
And wasn't he the starting shortstop in the mid-70s?
Yes, he was. Yes. Yes, he was. He was in the mid-70s for a little while. And I got to tell you, man, you know, these guys that were in the 70s, including Roberto Clemente and several of these guys, Willie Stargell, Dave Parker, all them guys, Tavares, I remember all them guys back when I was growing up.
Okay, the pitching staff, Bert Blyleven.
Yeah, Bert Blyleven. I tell you what, man, that guy, what a pitcher. I mean, he could start, he could play in a bullpen. Great, a good starter, good pitcher.
Yeah, we had him in Cleveland for a while. And okay,
yes,
John,
I remember that.
John Candelaria.
Oh, my favorite pitcher, Peter. I used the Candy Man, and he was this guy, he was great. He had a good sidearm pitch that he used to throw. They called him the Candy Man, John Candelario. What a pitcher. And, of course, he's come in as well at spring training at times and helped out the pitchers a little bit.
Bruce Keeson.
Yeah, Bruce Keeson, good starting pitcher, was in the All-Star game several times. Just one great good pitcher. I mean, he always pitched a lot of good full games. Then you know, six innings wasn't a quality start, Peter. Back then, you pitched a full game. I mean, a lot of these guys pitched full games. There was no pitch count. There was no analytics involved. These guys went the distance.
Jim Rooker.
Yeah, the Rook. Yeah, he became a play-by-play announcer for us, color analyst for us for a little while. Yeah, Jim Rooker, again, another great pitcher. Steve Blass was a good pitcher as well. He pitched in the World Series in 1972. He knew Clemente. And yeah, Jim Rooker, yep,
yeah,
another good pitcher.
Yeah, I remember the earlier 70s. I think of the pitching rotations. It was Jerry Royce, Jim Rooker, Bruce Keeson. I can't remember after that, but I guess Royce was gone by 79.
Yeah, he was gone before that. Yeah, he was gone. Yeah, they traded him to the Dodgers. He played for the Dodgers for a while. And then the one year, I think right after the Pirates won the World Series, I think the year or two after, Dodgers went to the World Series, and he was like one of the pitchers, and you know.
Okay, Jim Bibby.
Yeah, I like the Bibster, man. That was my man, Jim Bibby. And then he became a relief pitcher later in his career. But, again, a lot of these guys, Peter, 12, 13, 14, 15 wins. And that's why the Pirates were so good.
Yeah, Jim Bibby pitched through a no-hitter for Texas. We picked him up in the Gaylord Perry deal and had him for a couple years. I had high hopes. He was big, could throw fast, and then we lost him. I don't know, we screwed up something, and he became a free agent, and signed with Pittsburgh. And I remember, the 79. I remember seeing the 79 series, and he was, hey, Jim Bibby's pitching for old Cleveland Indian, pitching for the World Series. Cool. How about Doc Ellis got in three games that year? You want to talk about Doc Ellis?
I don't know much about Doc Ellis, but I follow most of the other guys. Doc Ellis, I didn't know much about.
Okay. Grant Jackson.
Yeah, Grant Jackson. I'll tell you what, that guy was a great relief pitcher. He would come in, and what he would do is he would come in and he would pitch one or two innings. He was a great reliever. And Grant Jackson, one heck of a guy.
Okay, we got some comments here. Let's see. Steve from Corvallis, listening live now. Boy, I missed the Browns-Steelers wars. Any thoughts?
Yeah. Well, you know what? What happened, Peter, was, and I think you know this as well as I do, when the Browns left for Baltimore, that took the luster out of the Browns and the rivalry against the Steelers. And then when they came back, it never was the same, I don't think. I mean, you know, and then ever since all these years, all these coaches and the Browns still can't get it right. It's just amazing how the organization, no offense to you, Peter, but it's just interesting how the organization has kind of gone down the toilet. Now you got Stefanski there who last year in the draft sat by himself in the office and his staff wasn't with him last year at all. He sat at home with his feet up on the desk playing a video game or something because they didn't have a lot of draft picks anyway because of the Deshaun Watson trade. So what I'm saying is, here we are again. They keep making bad mistakes with the Browns, and, you know, I don't know what else to say. I mean, that's just the way it's been.
I don't think it's ever been much of a rivalry except in the late 80s because Cleveland has been – in the 70s, the Steelers were dominant, and then it was only the Browns' heyday during my life. Well, they were strong in the late 60s, and the Steelers were never good until the 70s.
Right.
And then it was only a short time. Both were good teams, and then ever since Cleveland's been terrible since 95, really, since they left and the new team, and so. Anyway, that's why it was amazing when we beat Pittsburgh 2 weeks in a row. The COVID year, 2020, last game of the year, and then in the first game of the playoffs.
Yeah, that was amazing how that happened, and I was sad to see that happen that way. It just turned out that it was, Mason Rudolph had a really good game. We only lost by 2 points, and then the following week, Ben plays, and we lose by lose that playoff game. And, you know, I thought they should have sat Ben down for that game. Mason Rudolph had some momentum going, even though he only lost by 2 points. Defense kind of laid an egg in that game, too. So, you know, but, the Cleveland Browns, you're right, in the late 80s. And the only reason for that was because Chuck Knoll kind of faded away a little bit in the late 80s. 89, we got back to the playoffs. We lost by 1 point to Denver to go to the Super Bowl. I remember that game with Bubby Brister, and he was the quarterback. We lost by 1 point, and it was sad. But, and then when he stepped down in 91 after the 91 season, Chuck Knoll, he had said to his wife right after the Super Bowl, if you watch the thing on the NFL Network about him, the story about Chuck Knoll, and he'll tell you, his wife will tell you, she came home, he told me, so we're going to have a bad season for a while because he had, late draft picks and things like that. It was just going to get tough. And around the late 80s, it was tough, except for 89 when we went to the playoffs that year and then the AFC Championship game.
Okay, another comments. Dave from Spokane, Washington has commented. Dylan from Chelmsford, Massachusetts says, you guys are great. This show is so important. informative. Lance from Pensacola, Florida. Hi, boys. Great pinch hitter. Ralph is for Bill North.
Yeah, Lance is a steady commenter. Yeah, he's a steady listener. Thanks, Lance.
Lou from several areas codes. And okay, so the time has slipped away. Our guest has been one of the great current sports podcasters, Mr. Ralph Williams. Ralph, do you have any final words tonight for our audience?
Well, I will be going on the radio as well, Peter. Starting June 20th, I'm taking my Sports Corner podcast to radio. I'm going to be on Beaver County Radio in western Pennsylvania. That's 95.7, 99.3 FM, AM 1230 and AM 1460 with myself and Smoking Jim Frazier. It'll be on Tuesday, June 20th, as our debut show, 5 to 6 p.m. You can catch it on Beaver County Radio's website and on their Facebook page live as well. So don't forget to tune in. We'll be on the radio. We're going radio.
Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations. And it was
thanks
so much,
Peter.
Thanks for coming on and talking about the 79 Pirates tonight.
Anytime, Peter. Anytime I'll be here for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next week, we're going to have Matthew DiBiase talking in NFL history. We'll be talking about his book, Greatest NFL Coaches. We're going to talk about Mike Tomlin of the Steelers and Mike Holmgren of the Packers and Seahawks. Dear listener, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good night, everybody. Thanks so much again, Mr. Ralph Williams.